Now would be a great time for you to get your Bibles out and to turn to Luke chapter 18. We are going to be studying this one-on-one conversation that Jesus had a little longer than I had originally anticipated. There was more to it that God has kind of unfolded along the way. And so tonight we're really in part two of Bartimaeus' story. I'm calling it Getting to God. And I think you're going to understand why. So have your Bibles open. Let me just say this, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of effort and a lot of perseverance to get to something. I constantly talk to students looking to procure their diploma and their degree, and I encourage them to persevere. I say, you may be paying now, but you will play later. I have seen it. You can do this. I also counsel people on the same thing, you know, a lot of effort now and perseverance to get to something. I counsel them to get out of debt. Counsel them to get out of debt. I tell them, develop a financial plan that gets your bills paid off. Now, this plan might be as long as 10, 15, 20 years. It doesn't matter. But set your chin towards being aggressive and persevere in making that happen. Not everything will come to us easily. And not everything will happen effortlessly or naturally. Sometimes we have to persevere, put the effort in. Think trying to gain your health or trying to maintain your health. That's yet another place where we have people who need to persevere through challenges, temptations, and roadblocks that confront us. Again, here's the bottom line. We all know where we want to get to. We all know where we want to get to. But are we willing to do what it takes to get there, even if what is required to get there directly challenges what we feel, directly challenges what we think, directly challenges what we believe, and directly challenges what we want to do. But we will see tonight in the second part of Jesus' one-on-one conversation with Bartimaeus how blind Bartimaeus answers the very question we said. We all know where we want to get to, but are we willing to do what it takes to get there? Bartimaeus will answer that question for us tonight. So, Luke chapter 18, verse 35. Let me give you the background here, Bible students. Jesus is on his way towards Jerusalem. This is going to be the final week of Jesus' life. Now, that piece of information telling us the time frame informs us that Jesus really is no secret. He is no secret at this point to anyone. His ministry is well known. He has been traveling extensively for a little over three years. He has been teaching prominently right out in the public. And he has been putting on grand spectacles of jaw-dropping healings and soul-strengthening resurrections from death. He's done these things. He's been doing them for 3+ years, and the word was out that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. But getting to him, well, everyone has their own story about how they get to Jesus. Everybody has their own roadblocks of their pilgrimage to Jesus. Bartimaeus is no different. Let's read this. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. His name was Bartimaeus. When Bartimaeus heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked, "What was happening?" And they told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" "Be quiet!" the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Well, when Jesus heard him, he stopped, and he ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "I want to see," Bartimaeus said. And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. Now, last week, like I said, as we were starting to unpack this, really digging into what the Bible is saying to us here, we looked at Bartimaeus' problem. That being, Bartimaeus was stuck. He was stuck solidly between a life that is not what he wanted. He didn't want the life he had. He was stuck in a life that seemed a million miles away from what he could have. That life he had was the life of being a beggar. The life that he wanted was that of being free from being a blind beggar, free from having disability. He wanted to be able to take in all that life could offer. We studied the hope that Bartimaeus had. Hope that there was a healer. He heard there was a healer who could produce the unthinkable and could provide the out-of-reach dream that Bartimaeus had. A healer who could make the impossible possible. Lastly, we saw Bartimaeus' faith. That is his heart belief of who Jesus is. Bartimaeus believed, and he had faith, that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the Redeemer of the world, the creator of all that is, and the writer, producer, and director of life and death. Yet, when Bartimaeus tried to get to his amazing destination, when he tried to get to Jesus, he was hit with a roadblock. He was told, stop. He was told, cease and desist. The Bible says, when Bartimaeus heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him Jesus of Nazareth was going by. He began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. The people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. Like we said earlier, we all know where we want to get to. We all know where we want to get to. But are we willing to do what it takes to get there? Bartimaeus wanted to get to Jesus, but he was being told, stop, knock it off. Westbridge, point two is this. The road to Jesus is often littered with roadblocks. There's a roadblock Bartimaeus is encountering here. Dissuasion, or being deterred, really. Tonight, we will look at four roadblocks. We will look at them in depth. Roadblocks that keep us from getting to Jesus. Because most people's travel story to Jesus includes one of these four roadblocks. For Bartimaeus, his was being deterred. His roadblock being deterred from coming to Jesus, being dissuaded. Label this one roadblock number one. We are told Bartimaeus was deterred verbally, right, by the people, but they very well could have been in his way physically, couldn't they? Restraining him, being in his way to get to Jesus. This is not uncommon, is it? Many a person's interest, many a person's investigation of Jesus is impeded by someone telling them stop, telling them they're crazy, telling them that they shouldn't even, or they aren't even allowed to embrace Jesus. I have people come to me telling me how badly they want to come to church and be with God's family, but they are roadblocked by someone with authority over them who does not want that to happen. My heart breaks when I see that kind of dissuasion. But I focus on the truth that God is bigger than that roadblock, and God can reach people's hearts wherever they are. You may be roadblocked from meeting with members of Christ's family, Christ's body. But remember, Westbridge, you can never be kept away from meeting with Jesus himself. You can't be kept away from him. If you are being deterred like that, remember Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and brave. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be terrified because of them. The Lord your God will go with you. He will never leave you. He'll never desert you. Again, you can't be deterred away from Jesus because he's always with us. It's like saying, I always laugh at this one, they're taking prayer out of the schools. Well, just because you don't pray doesn't mean I can't pray. It's silly, isn't it? Silly. It's like they shake their finger and no more praying in the school. All right. Hey, Lord, you got to help me on this test. You got to get me through this test. You didn't even give me total recall. Just because you don't pray, that don't mean you can stop me from praying. Because I just did. Friend,
is the road to Jesus is often littered with roadblocks. But you have the freedom. You have the right. You have the power to do what it takes to get around them. Roadblock number two. How many of us have come up against this one? Discouragement. But the discouragement I'm talking about here is discouragement that comes from within your own heart. Have you ever felt like this? I have good, wholesome dreams in life, but God isn't bringing them about. I'm getting discouraged. Have you ever felt like, I see wicked people prosper, while the righteous seem to get passed by? Have you ever felt like, well, the thrill and the excitement of my new birth in Jesus Christ, it isn't quite as thrilling and exciting as it used to be. Soldiers' discouragements roadblock a lot of people, but discouragements can be beaten. You see, the thing about the discouragement roadblock is that it's really something that's a mind game. It's in our head. Discouragements come from what we think, feel, and focus on. The key to tearing down this roadblock is this. You need to sift the discouragements into one of two categories. The first category is this. Feelings and circumstances. Is the discouragement that I'm dealing with, we need to ask ourselves, is it a feeling? Feelings come from our heads and our hearts, gang, and our hearts will deceive us. Jeremiah wrote this, the heart is more deceitful than anything. It's incurable. Who can know it? Now what he's saying there is that our feelings will often lead us in the wrong direction, won't they? Think about this. If we went on our feelings, I wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. If we went on our feelings, I wouldn't pay income tax. I don't feel like doing that. If we went on our feelings, we all probably would have called down fire and brimstone from heaven already on half the population of the earth. If we went on our feelings, we probably wouldn't forgive anyone. And if we went on our feelings, we would go places we shouldn't go, we would do things we shouldn't do, and we would be who we are not supposed to be. Gang, we can beat discouragement if we identify if it is a feeling and realize feelings can't be trusted. I am feeling abandoned and alone. I am feeling hopeless. I am feeling unloved. I am feeling worthless. I am feeling unforgivable. All those, Westbridge, are lies. Biblical untruths. Everything I just said. They are lies. But we'll get to that in a moment. We're going to get to the solution to this in a moment because we have to look at the second part of this category, that's circumstances. Am I discouraged because of a circumstance? I'm out of money. Bad money. I'm out of a relationship. Ugh. I'm unable to complete the task I wanted to complete. I'm sick. All these circumstances can discourage us if our hearts think of them as unchangeable issues and if our hearts believe we are totally on our own to deal with them. Again, discouraging circumstances are given their power or they are conquered by our hearts and our minds. That is where the second category comes in. On this side, we have feelings and circumstances. And on the other side, we have God's truth and God's promise. Put them where they belong. When we categorize our discouragements, we have to ask ourselves, is this discouragement that I'm feeling, is it God's truth and God's promise? Because many discouragement roadblocks are vaporized and obliterated by the category of God's truth and God's promise. For instance, let's go back to the list, to the discouragement that I feel that I am all alone. I feel like I'm all alone. Is that God's truth? No. God's truth tears down that discouragement roadblock. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you, never abandon you. God's truth tells us that no matter how you feel, you're never alone. Never. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. That is what we must focus our mind on, and the discouragement roadblock will flee. To the discouragement that I'm not wanted. I am unforgivable. Or I am hopeless. Those feelings are all destroyed by God's truth. Just John chapter 6, verse 37. Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You will be wanted. You will be forgiven. You are not hopeless. Let's look at circumstances. When circumstances hit us like financial discouragements, has God given me any truth or promise on this? Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 33. Jesus says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will I eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Jesus says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father, he already knows what you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Westbridge, whether you are coming to Jesus for the first time, like Bartimaeus was, or you have been walking with Jesus for a long time, discouragements will block your road to him. Roadblocks are a battle we must fight in our minds and our hearts, but it's a very, very winnable battle. Soldiers, ask yourselves, is this a feeling? Is this a circumstance? Is this what I'm dealing with here? Because if it is, then I must call it out as such, and I must assign it to category one. And by doing that, I know that God's promises and God's truths in category two, they're going to supersede and supplant anything in category one. I think of the apostle, who had this source? Think of the apostle John. John is standing at the foot of the cross. He is watching his Savior being crucified. Nothing could be sadder. That feeling had to be horrible. Worst feeling you could possibly feel. Talk about discouragement. As bad and as difficult as those feelings were that John had watching. I mean, I keep thinking of this because we're watching The Chosen. Are you enjoying watching The Chosen?
Yes.
Isn't Jesus awesome? I just love this Jesus guy. I can't wait. And I'm so excited because I like him more every single time I see him. And I know where this is going. You're going to do what? To hit? This is what John is watching. And you think the feelings weren't flooding in? You think the circumstances weren't heavy on him? Category two has bigger, more powerful answers. God's truth about the cross that John was looking at was that Jesus just rescued mankind.
Amen.
The truth in the circumstance of Jesus up on that cross is that Jesus just paid for every sin that is ever confessed to him and every sin that was ever committed that brought to him. The truth about feeling that Jesus is going to be lost to us forever. John looking at us saying, he's gone. He's lost to us forever. But the truth is that Jesus is not lost to us. He has now opened the doorway of death, allowing us access into heaven, access to God, and eternal access to him. The road to Jesus is often littered with roadblocks. And Westbridge, they are not always roadblocks that come from other people. Some of them we fight right within ourselves. Third roadblock, difficulty. Back to Bartimaeus. He had difficulty. He certainly had the first one. He got number three as well. He couldn't see. That's difficult. How are you going to get to Jesus when you can't see him? He certainly couldn't get up and go on his own. Talk about roadblocks. How do you get past that difficulty? Well, the answer to it is this. Effort. Bartimaeus used effort to get there. You remember when he started yelling louder and louder? Gang, a life connected with Jesus Christ is a life what one must put effort into. Let me say that again. A life connected with Jesus Christ is a life one must put effort into. Hear me out on this. Look at what Peter wrote. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Peter says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promise. Effort. Make the effort to respond to God's promise. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. More work. Moral excellence and knowledge. Knowledge with self-control, with self-control, with patience, endurance, and with patient endurance, with godliness and godliness, with brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection, with love for one another. All efforts. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says this, but those who fail to develop in this way, those who fail to put the effort in, they are short-sighted. They're blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sin. So friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this and have your life on firm footing. Westbridge, there are powers working against us that do not want us to connect with Jesus. And they do not want us growing more and more into Christ's image. And those powers working against us will use anything and everything to make it difficult for us to get to Him. Life will get very, very, very busy if you are continually getting to Jesus. Finances will become more and more demanding when you're making time to be with Jesus. Friends, you must never let difficulty block you from Jesus for what he had or what he has for us. That difficulty has to be overcome with some effort. It takes effort. It takes effort to investigate and learn about Jesus, doesn't it? It probably took effort to find a parking spot outside tonight. Which you did. Some people had to park up in Hope. Well, good. I got here early. It takes effort to go against the crowd, doesn't it? It takes effort when they believe you're crazy. It takes effort to fight the devil and to say no to temptations. It takes effort to stand up and be counted for Jesus when most of the world around you will condemn your choice. But each of these difficulties is in our power to exert some effort and push through. Bartimaeus, we are told, shouted louder and louder. Can you picture that effort? A blind man? He wanted to get to Jesus so bad that no difficulty was going to roadblock him from Jesus. I pray that all of us would hunger for Jesus like that. So, people being deterred from Jesus, roadblock one. Our hearts and minds discouraging us from God, roadblock two. Difficulties that we must be determined to push through. That leaves us one roadblock. Number four, doubt. Is God really there? Is God really there? Can he really be reached? And a third, is Jesus really the way to God? Those three questions were questions I had when investigating Jesus Christ. Those were my questions. My investigation was a simple one. I wanted to see what were the claims the Bible had, the promises, and what are the results, so the product of those claims. Basically, you can filter it down to this. What does the Bible say, and does it work? I get what to say, and does that work? Let's take you on a roadblock journey that I went through, roadblock journey to doubt. Is God really there? Is God really there? Romans chapter 1 instructs me that God is there, and I should recognize him. This is what the Bible tells us. Romans 1, chapter 19. They know the truth about God because he made it obvious to them. How did he make it obvious to them? Verse 20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities and his eternal power and divine nature. So, they have no excuse for not knowing God. So this information, so the Bible says, this information tells me that just by looking at the world around me, just by looking at the world around me, I should acknowledge that there is a God creator who exists, and that this is his handiwork. That's what the Bible says, that the nature should show me that. Does that work? Is that so? Okay, so the Bible says, does that work? Well, just the other day I was watching a television program, and something came up. They were talking about the function and the design of the pancreas. You want to come watch TV with me? This is what I'm watching during COVID. Okay, so I'm looking at this program about the pancreas, and it's telling me how the pancreas is necessary. It's very important. It secretes fluids that break down certain fats, proteins, and carbohydrates in one's digestive system. Without your pancreas, can't make it. As I listened to that, they showed it where it was, you know, a diagram. I thought, something had to design that.
That's right.
You've got to be kidding me. There is no way you're going to get me to believe that this complex system, that's designed to break down just these certain things, and you got to have it, there's no way that came about from the explosion of dirt. And then, you give that dirt time, and that dirt
turns into
will make a pancreas that knows what to secrete fluids to. For me, the answer to that complexity of life and organisms all shows me there is a creator. And he's way greater and way more capable of imagining and creating than any human is. The kind of creation I see can only come from God, a God. The Bible says, remember Romans chapter 1, verse 19, they know the truth about God because he's made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky and pancreases through everything God has made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, so you have no excuse for not knowing God. That's going to be very important when people stand in front of him. As the result of that scripture, I have to be honest with my investigation, that's what it said. Does it work? Yeah, that works. That Romans chapter 1, that works. It really does. You look at nature, you've got to recognize it's got to be a God who created it, who's had brains involved in it, and a creation. I'm not going with the dirt idea. Next, second question. So I answered the first question. Is God really there? Second, can God really be reached? Can we connect with God? Is he just out there? Can we connect with him? Well, what's the Bible say? What does the Bible say about this? I want to see what the Bible says. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 and 34. God says, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, honestly, this verse promises that God will impress himself and all that he wants to communicate to us onto our hearts. Of course, the Bible too. He can lead us and guide us and comfort us from inside of us, similar to a conscience, but it is actually God's Spirit speaking to us. That's what the Bible promises, right? You read it, you understand with me. He's going to write his word, I would write his law on our hearts. That's what the Bible promises. Okay, that's what it says. Does it work? What has been the outcome for people who actually do this? Well, if you've ever been to one of our baptismal services, or if you rub shoulders with anyone who actually knows God in their hearts, the evidence is obvious, isn't it? People who have God's law written on their hearts, they think differently. I'm not saying they think differently. I'm being honest. They act differently. They don't be perfect. I'm talking about perfect. I'm talking about different. And they live differently. That come to a firehouse on a Saturday night. What? Where did that come from? They never do that kind of thing. when someone truly knows God, an indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is put in them. There is life change there. It is undeniable. The Bible says that's what happens, and the jury says that's true. That's what happens. My final doubt question. Okay, I get the part. We can know God's there. We can know Him. But is Jesus really the way to God? There's lots of choices out there, right? Lots of choices. What's the Bible say? Every Bible says, you know, pick one. Pick one, go with. The Bible says this. Jesus said of Him, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus goes on to say, no one comes to the Father except through Me.
Amen.
Ooh, that's pretty clear. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which one can be saved. Only this one, Jesus. But is it real? I get what the Bible says. Pretty clear. Don't need to really expound on that one. Does Jesus deliver what is promised? Is this really true? Well, friends, God is dying to show you.
Amen.
He's dying to show you. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is. Happy are those who find safety in Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the person who trusts in Him. Westbridge, getting to God is possible. And Jesus made it possible for us. You will experience roadblocks. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You will experience roadblocks. Absolutely. Some of us may be experiencing a roadblock right now. Something's just getting between me and God. Bartimaeus didn't let his roadblock stop him. And you and I can do the same. So, we'll close tonight by talking to God through song. Let's take this opportunity, as we sing two more worship songs, to get to Him. Lord, I pray that You'd help each of us as we continue to follow You to break through the roadblocks that come our way. Lord, there are some who haven't even connected with You yet because of the roadblocks that are holding them back, and I pray that You would give them the power through Your Spirit to move into that, that You would put Your hand upon them and draw them to Yourself. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I do pray that even at this very moment, they would say, Lord, I need You. I've been running on feelings. I've been running on circumstances. I didn't run on Your truth and Your promise. And it's kept me from life to the full. I pray that You would help each one, Lord, to open their heart and say yes to your gift of forgiveness of sins, eternal life with You, and the Spirit inside where You write Your law in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to continue as we, who are on the journey with You, attempt to do what Peter was telling us to do, to keep adding, putting the effort in to grow into our likeness of You. We know it is Your Spirit that does the work, but we also know there are two sides of a yoke, and You tell us to pull our side of the yoke while You pull Yours. And Lord, I pray that You would help each of us to connect with You deeper and deeper, become more and more like You each and every day. Thank You for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord, this special gathering, this kind of once-in-a-lifetime deal here, which is so cool. But thank You. And I pray that Your kingdom would be advanced in our lives, that people would see a difference through the way we live, and that we would own that mantle, we would wear it. We would ask to let You work through us and play through us as we create this incredible story of Your epic kingdom. Now, Lord, keep Your hand upon us as we travel from this place. Thank You for allowing us to be here. Thank You for allowing us to spend the night here. Thank You for sending that guy with the key.
Amen.
Amen.